All right, in today's episode of Nothing Major, we have our 2026 predictions during the year, which is going to be really fun. And we also have an incredible interview, one that a lot of people have been asking for, the next-gen champion, the Mets champion, the youngster. I think he just turned 20, Lerner Tien. Stevie and I have known him for over a decade. This guy is a stud. He's lefty. He's crafty. Him and Joao Fonseca battled for that kind of top spot amongst the youngsters all year in 2025. Fonseca got him just by a little bit, but Lerner Tien is on his heels, and he's going to have a big year, and we've got a really fun interview with him later in the show. So let's get into it.
That was epic.
It's good.
All right, we're back. I got John, Jack, Stevie, myself, Charlie, the team at SIFT, everything I could pronounce perfectly. That's what I like about this pod. I can say my co-host names and not mess it up. So shout out to you guys. All right, like I said in that pre-intro today, we've got a Lerner Tien interview coming up later today, which is really cool. Stevie and I especially have known Lerner since he's like 10 years old. He's got a little more personality than one might think. It was a fun one. So look forward to that. Why is that funny?
No, you're right. No, because he comes off as like a quiet guy, but like he's funny. Like you get him on a practice court, he's got great personality.
It was
he's just going to come into his own.
Look forward to that. But part of that, we're going to do our 2026 predictions. We did this last year in 2025. So this is 2026 predictions. These are going to be things like first tour level title, first Masters Series, breakthrough player of the year, top 10 debut, slam winners, things like that. We've got our answers in front of us. Some of these categories, we've got a male and a female for both. Some we just have a male. Again, we were all on the tour with the men, so we know the men a little more. But we've thrown some women into this this prediction show a little bit as well. So with that, we're gonna get going. First prediction of the year, we're gonna go first tour level title. Who's gonna win their first tour level title? We're gonna go to Jack Sock first. Who is going to win their first tour level title this year in 2026?
I'm gonna go with US guy. I'm gonna go with Alex Mickelson. First tour level title. It's going to happen this year at a Delray-ish type tournament.
He's been on that. He's been like 30 in the world for a while. Made the finals of Newport.
Had match point.
Yeah, or like a Newport, like Eastbourne, one of those. You can. Yeah,
Newport's no longer a tour event. Also.
Yeah. No. Yeah. For sure.
Mickelson's good. Mickelson had a pretty bad end of the year, so he's going to he's got to fire back up and get that title. Not bad. Stevie?
I've got Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina. He's got four finals in 2025, two of them with championship points. Could have won both. I think he's going to get it done.
I don't know, man. I don't know if he comes back this year and like makes a bunch more finals.
Just needs to make one and not have Hawkeye beat him down by like a millimeter.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called now. It's not Hawkeye.
John?
I'll go with Jaume Munar.
Yeah. Gosh.
He has no titles, huh?
No titles.
No.
Yeah, no titles.
He's a
see him
stud
like
too.
A Rio or like a.
He just lost the. He lost to Fritz earlier this week, 7-6 in the third.
He's good on all surfaces too. Like it's not. Yep. He's not like. He's actually like clay. Like, I don't know. He's good on all surfaces. Equally good, I think.
So. Yeah. I had hit him on my list. So I'm going to go with my number two. I'm going kind of in the same realm as Jack. I'm going with an American, Ethan Quinn.
Ooh.
Oh, I know that's a good one.
Yeah, he hasn't necessarily popped in a tour event yet by making like a semi or anything. The dude's got a massive forehand and he's just like he's a good player. He's a very good player. I think if a draw opens up somewhere, especially on the 250, he can take a title.
I like that.
All right. We're going to move on. First Masters 1000 title of their career. So these are players that have not won a Masters 1000. Who is going to be new to that illustrious group? Jack, back to you.
This one's a little tough. I don't know if I'm going to go with Lorenzo Musetti. Don't know where. I don't know. I don't know where.
It's on the clay.
Probably on the clay.
I know that, but I'm just like, I don't know. Like to beat the guys that you have to beat, if everyone's healthy and playing, it's just like, it's a tough task, but maybe he'll shock the world in his home country in Rome and win or something. It'd be actually kind of epic, but.
He was close last year. Final Monte Carlo, semifinal Rome, semifinal Madrid.
Yeah.
So like he's sniffing that Masters 1000 title. Stevie.
I'm going to go with Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's just got the firepower. I think he can get it done like in Indian Wells, Miami, if he just gets hot.
Yeah. It feels like he's won a Masters title, doesn't it?
Feels like he has not. I hope somebody
picks somebody
outside the top 100 like Vacherot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go bold.
That's a good one. John.
I'll go Demon with the Masters 1000 title.
Can you clarify who that is?
Alex Demon Hour.
I hope he does, but like, does he have the fight? He'll quarter like seven of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll quarter all of them. Exactly.
It's going to be, and I'll even go a little further. It's going to be in the fall. It's going to be Shanghai or Paris.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Who just wants it more than anybody then.
Yeah. Yeah. Like on a, you know, I don't know. So I think he's a, yeah, it's for me, it's Demon.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had Musetti was actually mine as well. My backup, I don't love, honestly. Lehechka.
Go Tommy Paul.
I don't, he's like been a little injured.
Winning a thousand is tough.
I'm too nervous to say Tommy right now. I can't say Tommy because I need to see Tommy's first like 3 months of the year before I put him on that list. So that's why I'm going Lehechka.
All right.
And I just couldn't feel worse about it. all right, breakthrough player of the year. This one's a little vague. Just breakthrough player of the year. Back to Jack.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know the parameters on this one, I guess, but it's kind of riding the momentum of already an awesome year and kind of like new on the scene. But I'm going to keep going with Lerner Tien to keep moving up and kind of break through into that top 20, as Stevie mentioned earlier, maybe top 15, and see where he gets to, but I think he's going to keep breaking through.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, this is one like breakthrough player of the year. It could be someone that goes from 30 to 10, yeah, or it could be someone that goes from, you know, 120 to 50.
Right.
Tien's a good one. Stevie?
This name has been said on today's recording. It's Ethan Quinn. I think he's going to do it. He's slowly risen in the rankings. He was, you know, 344, then 202, now 70 in the world, winning more matches every year. The guy is going to find his way into the top 50, and I do think he has a chance. He's making a final this year in an ATP event, and I don't know if he's going to win it or not, but he's going to make one.
All right. Another good one. I'm with you on that. Obviously, I think he's going to win a title, so good call. John.
All right. I'm going to go with Francisco Comenzana.
I love that guy. Legend.
Was he the eerie? I think we talked about that. Was he smoking one time?
I wish he was. I don't think he was.
I'm going to continue to think he was.
I'm going
to
Comenzana is going to be like, you know, he's going to get seated in, like by the US Open time, he'll be seated.
If he's seated by Wimby time, there's going to be a lot of guys clamoring for that draw.
Yeah, probably.
That one tournament.
Grass is, it's not so much a thing anymore on grass.
Yeah.
Even the little South Americans are like, they're good on grass. They move so well. And like, you know,
everyone plays the same way now.
I feel like everyone's just good now too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Comenzana. Comenzana, like, I feel like collectively as a pod, we're Comenzana fans.
Big time. We should have him on. We should have Comenzana on.
We should also, for 2026, find like three. I'm not going to call them random. Not that Comenzana's random, but find like three random dudes that we just like latch on to. And like, those are our guys for the year.
Okay. Can we agree that Comenzana is one of them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Sorry. We need two more.
I want a sleeveless shirt if he comes on. I'm going to wear more. It during the pod.
Who else? All right. Well, if they pop up during the show. All right, breakthrough player of the year. I got two. I have a man and a woman. I have Emilio Nava. Again, we're going to get ripped because we're American heavy, but this is who we know. Emilio Nava. I think he won five challengers last year. He's on the brink. He should be better than he is. I think this is the year he puts it together. He's got a massive win over pod member John Isner.
He ended my career. What do you mean?
And he ended Stevie. Wow. All right. Yeah. So he's just absolute sniper to this pod. And on the woman's side, the Australian Maya Joint. You guys seen her play?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's already ranked. I want to say like 30 or something, but I feel like she's an unknown 30. She's going to be known end of the year.
She's going to be known.
Known. Really known. All right. Let's move on. Top 10 debut. Who do we got? Over to Jack. Top 10 debut.
I just took the easiest way out here. I'm going to go with Alexander Bublik because he's at 11 and Draper's injured. So he's probably just going to slide on into top 10 debut. And I want to get one of these right. So
he's going to be top 10, I think, like after Auckland or Adelaide.
Yeah.
Literally, that's like 100. He's got like 100%. Wait, did Draper do something in Auckland or Adelaide?
No, but like Bublik didn't win a match till like the Phoenix, you know, after Indian Wells, you know, and then he didn't win a match until the Clay, you know, so.
Yeah, I didn't go that far into like points and results from last year, but I just went with whoever was 11.
Yep.
That's the right answer.
Stevie?
That was on my list. I have Davidovich Fokina as well. He's 14. I mean, it's just hard because to make your top 10 debut, you got to not be in the top 10. And a lot of guys around there have seen like 9, 10.
And a lot of guys between 10 and 20 have been in the top 10. So you got to start really searching.
Yeah. So it's, you know, because if you look, you go Rude, Medvedev, Rune, Rublev, Kachanov, you know, guys have all been there. So it's...
You're heavy Davidovich Fokina this year, huh?
Well, you know. He's on my list for a couple other things, you know. I'm just going to keep naming him.
Best headband?
Best sock combo.
Yeah. All right, Isner, top 10 debut?
Sebastian Korda.
Isner's a big Korda guy.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a Korda guy.
He plays 23 tournaments this year. He's got a good chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. If he can stay healthy, he's got a really good chance.
I like it. All right, mine. I've got two again. I've got Flavio Caboli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guy's a stud. Davis Cup, he's still riding high off that. And on the woman's side, this is maybe a stretch. Iva Jovic. I know she's just turned 18, but what's she ranked right now? Like,
she's 35.
35, yeah. That's not all right. 24, five spots. All right, those are mine. All right, now biggest fall off. Again, that's vague.
Yeah,
it is vague.
If you go from like one in the world to six in the world, like that's a pretty big fall off. Equally as big as like 10 to 30, equally as big from like 50 to 150. Over to Jack, biggest fall off. This one is tough because like no one wants to say things bad, but who do you got?
I have Stevie's own Davidovich Fokina.
It's possible. It's entirely possible.
I think, speaking of peaking, I think he peaked at 14. I think he's not going to finish the year 14 or in the top 20.
All right. Over to Stevie.
I had on both of my list top 10 debut and biggest fall off is just Bublik, really. Because he's going to make the top 10. And then you just never know, dude. Like
You're actually right. He could do both in the same year.
He's going to hit top 10 in Australia. And then he's could just like be gone. I don't know, man. Like, I think he's a fun watch. He's an insanely good tennis player. But you just don't know.
Yep.
So he's going to hit both. He's on both of my lists.
Yep. All right. Isner.
I'm going to go with Musetti.
Yeah.
Okay. I just feel like he's got to make so much hay.
It's on my list
during
as
the play
well.
Court season.
Final semi of Roland Garros too. Those four events alone are just so many points.
And that would suck for tennis if my prediction does come true because he's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fun thing about this prediction. Like,
we all want to be wrong.
Jack and kind of myself have Musetti winning his first Masters title this year. John has Musetti possibly having a bit of a fall off. You never know. And you know, four of the most amazing minds in tennis like ours can have different opinions. And so that's the beauty of this. Biggest fall off for me, I also had Bublik. That guy won four titles last year. Like I said, it's so hard. So many guys are just more consistent. So Bublik for me as well. All right, moving on. Who will rival the new two? And we all know the new two is Alcaraz and Sinner. Who is going to step up and be, I'm not even going to call it a rival, but who is going to maybe challenge them a little bit this year, Jack?
No one is my answer. Not one player in the world will rival those two. So it'll keep being the new two show. Every tournament, every draw, every slam. Prove me wrong. I hope maybe someone proves me wrong, but I think we'll be right here a year from now and it'll still be the Sinner and Alcaraz show.
Yep. I'm gonna go next on this one. I also have no one. As you heard earlier, like I think Sinner might win all four slams. I love that it's just these two, by the way. I'm a fan of like dominance from like a couple players at the top in any sport. I love when the Patriots dominated. Like I love when like the Dodgers are dominating right now. I think it's good for tennis that it is so dependent and top heavy with these two. It just like makes every tournament potentially so exciting that you're going to get this great matchup. So I'm with Jack on this one. Stevie, who's rivaling the new two?
I don't think anyone. I mean, it would be Novak if there's anyone. Like, he's the only one who's consistent enough to be at the back end of these events week in and week out. But not one person, based on my research, beat both these guys in 2025. So
what does your research look like, by the way, when you say that?
Huh?
What's your research look like?
You know, the internet.
Based on my research. I want to see your graph. I want to see your analytics.
The internet. You know?
puts together a bunch of charts and like possibilities of like what could happen.
Don't know how to make a chart or use Excel. I'm not Excel proficient as people
you
would
use
like
that, spreadsheets. That TI-83 plus calculator that no one used in high school but had to have it.
You had to use that, dude. You could load in formulas and stuff in there. You had to use it.
Yeah. Graphic calculators. And you could put the answers in there.
It's Novak or no one. I mean.
All right. John?
It's no one, but I'll say someone who I think is most likely to beat them at a Grand Slam. The answer is no one. I mean, you got to imagine they're going to finish 1-2 if they're healthy.
Sam might think otherwise.
No, not this year. I think Ben Shelton can, if he can get himself in position, can beat one of those guys at a Grand Slam. You know, but he's not going to rival them. I think he could take one of them out in the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam with his firepower.
The consensus is basically no one, I think, here for the most part. You know, they might lose, but it looks like the two of them are going to be ranked 1-2 in our minds with a big gap to number 3 again in 2026. All right. And finally, we're going to go over the winner of each slam. So let's do this one. I'm going to go Australian Open, and then I want Jack to give me the men's and women's winner of that. And then Stevie and John and myself, then we'll go to the French and so on. So Jack, men's and women's winner of the Australian Open.
Went out on a limb here. I'm going to go with Jannik Sinner on the men's side. And Aryna Sabalenka on the women's side. So,
all right, that's safe.
I keep trying to go Paolini or somebody, and it never works. So,
she loved Paolini. She lit it up at the year-end final. Stevie,
I got Carlos. He's gonna put the rumors to bed with Juan Carlos Ferreira.
Wow.
He has a chance. This might be his last year to make history in Australia as the youngest man to have all four. So, I think. That's what's on his mind. And then Amanda Anisimova. She's going to start her journey to world number one.
All right. John?
I'll go with Sinner and Rybakina.
Ooh.
Rybakina's just continuing the momentum. Won the year end. She didn't win Tokyo at the end, but like did what she needed to do to like semi and then pulled out and then won year end.
It was genius, by the way. She got in and then she won it.
Yeah.
At number 8. Yeah.
Rybakina, sneaky good. All right, mine is Sinner and Iga Świątek. I think Iga's going to have a big year. So those are mine. All right, back to Jack. Roland Garros.
I'm going to go with Carlos Alcaraz with potentially Ferrero back. Just got to back up our previous statements. And then I'm going to go with Iga Świątek. For the female.
Yeah, she's back to dominating the clay.
Yeah.
Stevie.
Yep, I got Sinner and Iga. Sinner gets it done after a heartbreaking loss last year. He's going to exercise those demons.
You think Sinner does well in the lead-ups to the French? You think he wins over under two clay court master series or 1.5 make clay court master series for Sinner?
Over. Over.
There's only three.
If he plays all three, two or more, I don't know if he's going to, you know.
Yeah, if he plays all three, you're saying he wins two.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think he wants to win the clay this year.
All right. John?
I'll go with Alcaraz and Sabalenka. Lost in the finals last year.
Yeah, she sure did.
Both number ones.
All right. I'm going with Sinner again on the men's side and Świątek. I think she's back to just dominating the clay again after after a year off of – not great clay resorts results, but she did win Wimbledon last year. So that was good. But Sinner and Iga. All right, moving on to the championships, Wimbledon. Jack, who do you got?
I got Jannik Sinner and Rybakina on the female side. She's shown it before, but I think she's going to back to the championships champion.
I like it. Stevie.
Novak and Sabalenka.
Wow. That's the boldest prediction yet. That's the boldest prediction yet that Novak wins Wimbledon.
I'm going to continue on from my bold prediction from Monday's show. I'm going to continue my bold predictions for Novak
and Sabalenka. All right, John?
Sinner and Sabalenka.
I also have Sinner and Sabalenka.
Ooh, okay.
Jack, US Open winners.
US Open winners. I have Sebastian Baez. No, I'm joking. I have Carlos Alcaraz and Coco Gauff.
Coco, she's got
US Open.
I feel like Coco's got to like find that consistency this year. She's so good. Like the French Open, winning that after like not playing well, so impressive. Like she gets that forehand dial, gets a serve dialed. She's gonna win majors.
It's all about the serve. It's you can't be giving away four games a match.
No, if she gets that going, she's winning a major for sure.
Give her 9 months to figure the serve out, and then she'll be ready to win that tournament.
Yep. Stevie?
Got Carlitos and Rybakina.
Rybakina getting so much love on this segment.
I've crossed a lot of names off on this. I don't know what I got nothing.
Maybe we get Rybakina on the podcast. No one's ever heard Rybakina give an interview. That would be like breaking news. We get Rybakina on here? Yeah. My new goal for 2026, it's a dinner or lunch with Alcaraz and to get Rybakina on the pod.
And Komasana.
And Komasana.
Yes.
All right, Isner, US Open champions.
Yeah, I gotta back my bold prediction from earlier. So I'm going to back it here. I'm going to go Zverev and Jess Pegula.
Ooh, Zverev gets it done.
I like him in New York. I just do a little bit faster courts. He can serve huge.
He's got like first or second best serve in tennis when it's going.
Yeah, absolutely does.
I guess too much scar tissue for him there.
All right. Finally, for me, I have Sinner doing the four-peat. And then I have Amanda Anisimova. I know I said that correctly.
Wait, Sinner four-peating at the US Open?
Four-peating as this. He's winning Australia, French, Wimbledon.
I was about to say, I don't US believe Open. That's correct.
Calendar slam.
He's winning all four.
I think he's going to win all four.
All right. Yeah. I was thinking
it's not
you
crazy.
Were, he had won the
other. And then, Amanda picks up her first one. So those are our predictions for 2026. Good news again, just like the Monday show, we can revisit these in 10 months and see if any of them come true. We'll see who's the best, who did the worst.
Don't worry, Stevie will call us out for whoever had the worst.
Yeah, Stevie. In Stevie's research, he not only researches, he takes notes of everyone.
Yeah, I do take notes.
Keeps receipts.
Avid note taker.
Keeps receipts. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
He does that. All here. So those are our predictions. But now my lights are flickering in the house. I got problems here. But anyway, let's get into the Lerner Tien interview. We did this a couple weeks ago. Great interview. Again, a little more flair, a little more personality than we thought. Let's get into it. Hope you guys enjoy this.
All right. Well, we are delighted. We have a young American star on. We have none other than Lerner Tien on, world number 28, an incredible meteoric rise in the 2025 season, a non-major winner. Potentially, that might change in the near future. But we are lucky to have Lerner on. He's been a good friend of Sam and mine for many years. So, Lerner, welcome to the pod. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, just kind of first things first, like there's a little bit of backstory here with your name, Lerner Tien, your sister's name, Justice. Can you give us a little bit of backstory of why your parents kind of named you those names and how it resonates with you today?
I mean, they kind of did it off their professions. My dad's a lawyer. My mom was a teacher. That's probably the main thing. I think, you know, the biggest thing about it now is just that I see a lot of like stupid puns on tennis TV about my name. That's, you know, probably what happens the most. But I mean, I like that I, you know, have a unique name. I think it's cool, but yeah, I mean, I don't see my name on Coke bottles or anything.
Yeah, it's not going to be one you're going to see at like the convenience store, but I guess I just buried the lead a little bit. We are just talking to you after winning 2025, the next gen finals in Jeddah, an incredible performance by you. Was there any thought for you not to go there with just the timing of the season, with maybe taking some time off, getting ready for the new upcoming season?
Not really. I mean, I always had it on my schedule all year, honestly. I mean, I ended the year better than honestly I was expecting. You know, I obviously believed in myself to do well, but I had a great year, and I mean, honestly, more than that I was could ever hope for. So I mean, it came up. I ended the year, you know, top 30, which is higher than my year end goal was. So I mean,
what was your year end goal?
My year end goal was 50 originally. So yeah, I mean, I got that right after Cincy, I think, and it was tough just because that was something I wanted to do by the end of the year. And then suddenly it happened, you know, at the end of the summer. And so, you know, I wouldn't say I got complacent. I didn't want to end my career at 48, but I was definitely very happy to do that. So mentally, I had a little drop off, I think. But yeah, I mean, I had a great season, and you know, I never really thought that I would skip it though.
Do you like when at the Next Gen Championships, it's the singles court only, it's the fast four format? Do you like the format and the court that you play on, or do you prefer the traditional scoring and traditional court?
I like the court a lot. I feel like it's actually easier to aim. I feel like I play better on that court because in my head, it's like anything inside the lines is in, and it's easier to aim. You know, I hit certain angles and stuff. You know, obviously you use your eyes and you can see the singles lines on a regular court, right? But I feel like in your peripheral sometimes, like when you're trying to go for certain shots, just me personally, when I don't have the doubles alleys, it almost makes it easier just to, you know, in my head, you know, I just hit it inside those lines and it's in. The format, on the other hand, is weird. I mean, it makes those matches a lot more of like a toss-up to where, you know, anyone that comes out like just playing well can win. I remember last year I was ranked like 120 and I played the top three seeds, I think, during that tournament. And, you know, I just went out and I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to try and tree. And if I play unreal, I'm going to win in this format. Like, some no ads, if I break first game, like I'm pretty much going to win the first set. Like, so, I mean, I think it's weird just because no one plays it all year. I played a college player first round, so I guess he's been playing it all year. So that was maybe a little bit tougher, but honestly, more mentally just being there was tougher than the conditions.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be difficult. I mean, last year when you played it, you lost to Fonseca in the final, I think in four sets, if I'm not mistaken. So you had a year to kind of think about that. And, you know, for you, you know, being a top 30 guy, winning a title year end, finaling, you know, the China Open, is that there's a lot of pressure on you. I feel like, you know, I don't know how much you read into it. Obviously, we're on this side of things, so we kind of get a lot of the tennis media. But, you know, at top 30 with a bunch of guys really outside the top, you know, 50, 75, top 100 playing this event, you know, it was an odds on favorite for you to be the last guy standing. I mean, when's the last time you really felt that kind of pressure at an event?
I mean, probably like last year playing 15K in San Diego, I think.
Which is insane, by the way, is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it was tricky just going in. I mean, I think Mensik pulled out last second. I think we were supposed to be 1 and 2 seeds. So, you know, I wasn't even expecting to be the 1 seed. And then, you know, I'm seeing on Instagram, he's like still on vacation, like 2 weeks before the event. So I was kind of assuming that he was going to pull last minute. I know he pulled from like Vienna and Paris and stuff. So I assumed that, you know, he probably wasn't 100% and that he wouldn't rush himself to play. I mean, it was tough because I've been the other guy. Like last year I was ranked 120 playing guys like top 50, top 30. And, you know, I just go out, I swing. It's a fast four, you know, no ad. If you play a few good points well, you know, you have a good chance to win. So I think it's dangerous going out there. You know, maybe you're a little tight and this everyone else is just swinging free. But I think it's cool to be in a position where you're the favorite. I think it's great. Obviously, I lost my first round. You know, I was kind of playing like, you know, I was hearing from other people, you know, whispers here and there. Oh, you know, like, why are you playing this event? You know, you shouldn't be playing this event. And, you know, you kind of start to think, oh man, like maybe I shouldn't play this event or something like that. You kind of feel the ranking drop off and you know that from a ranking standpoint, I mean, it wouldn't be great to drop some of these matches. I mean, not that they're, you know, bad players by any means. I mean, everyone there was good. Anyone can beat anyone there, but I just think from a ranking standpoint, it's tough going in, you know, seeing a guy with triple digits next to his name.
But it's tricky because I feel like if you're, I mean, as a player, you don't even think about that, right? You're just going out there to win. Like, you know, everybody's good. And it's the media, it's people asking you like, oh, like you have to win this tournament because you are 80 spots higher than this guy or you're 110 spots higher. But for anybody that was questioning you going, there was 502,000 reasons for you to go there. A nice little early Christmas gift. I'll expect a little bit at home. Maybe next time you see me, you can throw a little in an envelope and leave it on the bench at Carson for me for all that practice back in the day.
Hey, is that 500K hit the account yet?
I did. It hit like 2 days. It hit like December fourth or something. It was crazy. It was like
I can't wait to buy lunch next week.
Next gen guys get paid quicker. I feel like the tour events take like 10 days or so.
Yeah, no. I mean, last year I was thinking, I mean, I lost in the finals last year, so it was a little bit less, but I was thinking, you know, maybe it won't hit till like January 3rd and, you know, it won't hit my taxes for this year. And then like, you know, I don't check December 27th, it hits my account. And, you know, I'm not mad that I see that number go up, you know, by any means.
I love that you're into the, wait, are you like, when it comes to like your finances, are you like pretty on top of it, or like the parents and running thing? By the way, are you at your parents' house right now? Do you live alone? You're only 19.
No. I still live at home. Still live at home. I'm
so like, you just referenced like the taxes. Are you kind of on that, or do you just let other people handle all that?
I'm lucky. My dad's a lawyer, and he doesn't really work anymore. So his main job is sitting in his office doing my taxes. Nice. So yeah, it's pretty nice. You know, send over my credit card statements, and you know, everything just like appears in front of me.
Has he ever like credit card statement, like, hey, learner, like, hey, last month, like, there's a couple expenses, things you bought that maybe you didn't need to buy. Can you have free reign to do what you want?
I mean, I'm making more money than him now, right? So
that's tough.
Hey,
I mean, it's easy to out earn, you know, someone that's retired, but
yes, it is.
Yeah, no, I'm very grateful to him actually for doing that, because he definitely doesn't have
to. Very nice.
So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, kind of my last question towards Jeddah. I mean, you talked about the like the quick starts, the formats. I mean, at what point did you really feel like you kind of hit your stride? Because you win your last 9 sets in that format, which is not easy to do. You know, from us watching it at home, it looked like you were playing great tennis. How did it feel to you?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because, you know, I lose first round with match points, and then I win, you know, in 4 pretty convincingly second round, and then third round, suddenly it's like, if I get broken, you know, if I lose or if I win in 5 sets, like I'm out of the tournament, which is like, I win 2 matches and I lose a match with match points, and suddenly it's like, I'm done. So that was weird. And I was definitely trying not to think of it, especially after I lost the first set, and it was like, I can't, you know, I can't lose another set or my tournament's done. You know, it's weird because with the no out, it's like, okay, if I get broken first game, my tournament's done. And it's like, you know, win or lose, like I'm leaving. So, I mean, I didn't really even realize I'd won 9 in a row to offer the tournament. I was trying not to think about it, but I mean, I honestly wasn't super worried after I dropped the first. I was pretty confident that, you know, I would be able to sneak a couple breaks. I mean, I thought he served great in that first set. I mean, I didn't get broken. I lost in a breaker like 7-2, but you know, maybe delusionally, I thought I was fine.
Confidence is key.
Yeah. Going back to the beginning of 2025, the Australian Open, you took out Medvedev, who was, I think, the 5 seed, top 10 in the world in 5 sets. You went on to have 5 more top 10 wins, by the way, which pretty much everyone knows now. When you beat Medvedev at the Australian Open in that 5-setter, after that moment, did you kind of feel like, okay, like I belong in the top 50? Even though your ranking wasn't in the top 50 yet, did you feel like your game style was there already?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a huge confidence boost. I mean, like obviously. I really did feel like I was, you know, kind of belonged at that level after that tournament. You know, it kind of catapulted me to like 80 something. So, you know, I was playing good tennis. I thought I was, you know, I was in a pretty much, you know, a good position to, you know, I didn't feel like I was out against anybody really. And then during the clay swing, that kind of shook my confidence a little bit. I think I won like 1 main draw match, all clay swing. So that was pretty tough. And that brought me down to earth pretty quick.
That happens a lot for Americans in their first few years over there.
Yeah, I've heard. And I thought I was, you know, I thought I was going to break the stereotype. I was going to be the guy that was going to, you know, yeah, started with a 3-2 loss in Houston, and it didn't get much better than that.
But when you regrouped though, you took out Zverev this year, you took out Rublev, you took out Medvedev again. I mean, all those top 10 wins, like, Once you have 1 win, it's great. Once you have multiple wins like that, walking around like the locker room or the player lounge and stuff, do you feel people start to kind of notice you more? Is that something that like is on your mind at tournaments now?
I would say that more people know me just because I'm around more, I guess. I don't see people in corners of rooms, you know, pointing at me and whispering to themselves.
Yeah.
But it's definitely easier to get practices now than it was in January, for sure.
Yeah, I bet. And the lefty. Everyone always wants to practice with the lefty.
Only if they play a lefty.
Also, you're good, too. That's only the lefty thing.
Yeah, no. Usually, like, whoever plays, like, Nishioka, whoever plays Mute will want to practice that week. And so I get a couple guaranteed hits. You know, it's good for me sometimes.
What's been the biggest adjustment, would you say, from, like, go back a year ago, like, before 2025 started, end of 2024, to, like, right now? Is there anything, like, you do different in, like, your practices or the way you go about matches, or has just been a natural progression for the last year to have this meteoric rise of 28 in the world?
Sometimes I watch matches and myself, you know, playing challengers and stuff, and I just think back and I'm just like, wow, I feel like I was really bad. And it's tough to put my finger on something like specific. I mean, obviously certain things have gotten better. I would say, you know, everything has improved naturally. And it's tough to put my finger on like that one thing that it's like, this is why I'm 30 now instead of 200. I think experience has helped a lot. I think I manage matches a lot better. I think I was like a major pusher last year, honestly. You know, maybe people watch me and they still think I am. So
that is, you know, that is far from the truth, let me tell you.
But yeah, I mean, I was major push last year. I would just, you know, put the ball in the court. You know, sometimes I'd step up if, you know, I felt super great.
You've got sneaky power, I feel like. I do feel like watching you, naturally, it does look like you kind of push, but then like the forehand just like shoots off your racket sometimes. And I'm like, all right, he can hit the ball really hard.
I feel like it's more entertaining while I'm playing than what it is watching sometimes, even for myself to watch highlights of myself play. I watch some highlights of myself sometimes and I look at a certain shot and I remember playing that point and it felt a lot better hitting that shot than watching the shot. Like the shot doesn't look that great, but
don't admit that. Don't tell people you're an underwhelming watch on TV. It's a better watch when you watch Lerner Tien.
It's a great watch live, that's for sure.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think there's like something that's really been the difference maker, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, will then lead us into our next, you know, Michael Chang, you know, having him on the bag, you know, since summer. Was it August? When did he kind of officially
start?
Right after Wimby. Okay, so like the whole U.S. swing, you know, is he excited for you to be 28 in the world, or is he kind of disappointed since he was 17 and a Grand Slam champion that you haven't achieved that yet?
I mean, I try not to compare us our careers at this point because it'll just make me feel bad. But yeah, I mean, he's been great. I mean, he's definitely helped me. I mean, so much. I think the results speak for themselves in a way, but I mean, behind the scenes, there's so much that he does. I mean, on and off the court, he really just handles everything from, you know, from my rackets, from what I should be doing off court, on court. And, you know, just having someone with that much playing and coaching experience has been great for me, especially just because I'm starting out and I don't know that much. So to have someone around me that I really trust and, you know, I understand how he's communicating with me, and it's been a really good fit.
Did you reach out to him for like the coaching, or did he reach out to you, or like how did the partnership come about?
I have to thank my agent for that because I didn't really do anything. I don't even think he was looking to coach. So yeah, good on my agent. He's good at his job. So it all fell into place. I didn't have to stress.
It's good to piece guys together that are like 20 minutes from each other in the Southern California area.
Yeah, it was unreal, actually. It was actually an incredible fit.
I mean, for you, like when Michael comes on, does that also give you, you know, you've had some great coaches, obviously, in the past. I mean, you've gotten to this point in your career. It's pretty remarkable. But, you know, having him on board, do you feel pressure that, you know, you need to succeed? Or do you just kind of go day by day, just believing in the process, knowing that Michael's in your corner and, you know, might not work as quickly as it did with you and him, but over the long term, for the next 6 months, 12 months, whatever you guys are together, you know, that the game will get better and the belief will get better in your partnership.
I was actually a little tight at first, if I'm being honest.
Totally.
Some of those first few events, I mean, he was really, I could tell how committed and how, you know, how fully like 100% invested he was. And so I think the first tournament he showed up at in person was at US Open. And like a few days before that, I just couldn't serve. I had this thing in like my bicep tendon. I just really couldn't serve and it would just hurt really bad. And I played Novak first round. I lose in straights. And, you know, after that, we go home. And, oh, I played doubles as well. I think, Stevie, you called that match. It was a good level.
I have the distinct, you know, award of calling the Lerner Tien Marcos Giron doubles match from the US Open in 2025. And let me tell you, it was quick. I enjoyed it as an analyst. I didn't have to talk too much. And I had a good time calling it. Level was not good, but the boys looked like they had a good time.
You get paid by the match, right?
I get paid by the match, not by how long ago. So I appreciate
that. Perfect. Yeah, of course.
You're always paying it back. I appreciate it, Lerner.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to go on a smaller court. And then I don't remember who was on the court before us. It was another American, though. And they said that they wanted to keep the environment of the court going. So they would move, you know, two American doubles guys over to that court. And, you know, I was so happy we were on like this mini court. I was hoping maybe like eight people would show up. I knew, I had a feeling it was going to be like disastrous. I played my singles on Monday without having served for a week before my singles. And I didn't serve again or hit overheads from Monday to Saturday. And so I go out and I hit serves for the first time before my doubles match and it's still hurting. So I knew it was going to be bad. So I wasn't too happy that they moved us, actually.
Like when you're in Jeddah and like when you're practicing with Michael, there's always like you see videos of Michael. He gets out there and hits with you quite often, right?
Yeah.
Are there ever times when you're warming up where you're just like, hey, man, I don't want to warm up with you today. I'd rather hit with someone else. Or do you just if Michael says I'm hitting with you, you hit with Michael?
No, I actually like hitting like with a coach in general. You know, one of the biggest things since we started working together, I've been trying a lot harder in my warmups. I used to kind of tank my warmups. I used to just, you know, I would hit for like 20 minutes almost. And I would just go out there and I'd say, you know, this match has either been won or lost in the weeks prior and my 20 minute warm-up will not affect this match. And so I would go out, I'd half tank my warm-up, you know, maybe like do some fast feed stuff before I'd go out and, you know, hopefully I don't get broken first game. And that was kind of it. And so I think, I mean, my warm-ups have definitely improved a lot since we started working together. I actually like hitting with a coach because I can do whatever I want. Sometimes I feel bad like ordering this hitting partner around. It's like, you know, I'm treating them like, you know, I'm just yanking them side to side, hey, do this. And I feel kind of bad. With a coach, I don't feel as bad doing that. And I can, you know, do whatever I want basically at whatever pace I want. So I actually prefer doing that to hitting with a hitting partner. So he actually offered to get a hitting partner, but I asked if he could just keep warming me up.
Is he, when he warms up, does he still have the ankle braces on?
No.
No. When he was with Nishikori, he like, Stevie knows, Michael's committed to the ankle braces, even in the warm up. But he still hits a great ball.
Yeah, no. He gives me a solid warm-up. I think I warmed up with someone else, I think, for my first round match in Jeddah, and I lost. And then he warmed me up second round, and I won. And so I just kept it the rest of the tournament.
prior to Jeddah, at the Asia swing, you made the finals of Beijing. You were the youngest finalist there since Rafa. You took out Musetti. You took out Medvedev again. Came up across Sinner in the final. That was the first time you had played Sinner, correct?
Yeah.
You lost 2-2 in the final, but final of Beijing. Going into that match with Sinner, did you have the belief that you could beat Sinner at that moment? Or do you, because I asked that because a lot of people kind of say, oh, you know, when Steve and I were playing, you played Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. Realistically, I never stepped on the court with any of them and thought I was going to win, even though I did a couple times. Do you think you would actually maybe going to beat Sinner that day?
I mean,
you can say no. It's a fun answer. No one beats him. And I'm sure as the years go on, like you're gonna actually have the belief to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, I was down a set and a break first round. So honestly, I was just super thrilled to like even be stepping on the court on Sunday. So, I mean, I was down a set and a break first round when I played Daniil. I was down a set in 5-3, and so I honestly was just happy that I was still in the tournament. I think it was great. I got through a ton of matches just surviving. So, you know, I thought maybe, you know, this is a crazy fairy tale week and, you know, this is like incredible. But honestly, going out there, I mean, I was pretty happy just to be in the finals.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, finals of Beijing, it's Beijing has a Masters series feel to it in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the women's event there at the same time as the Masters. So, I mean, it's pretty much the same.
Right after that, you make the final. Late, the last tournament of the year, Mets. You win your first ATP title. You're playing Cam Norrie. I remember looking at the live scores on my phone. You went down 5-1 in the tiebreaker, and then
Sam gave up on you.
I gave up on you. I was like, oh, man, it's another good week. And then I must have looked 6 hours later, and you won. And then I remember my head thinking, I must have misread the score earlier. But no, sure enough, you were down 5-1 in the final set tiebreaker against Cam Norrie. Like, go back to that moment. What, you're down 5-1. What kind of, like, talk us through the rest of the match from that point. You went on to win that third set tiebreaker and win your final title. What was that like?
Were you actually thinking, oh, another good week? Or were you thinking, oh, this guy just choked his first ATP title?
No, another good week.
If you were up 5-1 and then lost, that's a different story. But you were down 5-1.
You're 19.
No, I mean, I was up 4-1, 40-15 on his serve in the third.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, second serve.
I still wouldn't have thought like he choked it. Choking would be like, you know, Dominic Fokina, like, all right, he might not win a title at this point. I hope he does.
Jeez.
But even if you had not won a title there, I would have bet a lot of money that you would win another title before your career is done.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, I was up 4-1, 40-15. I'm seeing a second serve, and he throws in like the slowest second serve he's hit all match. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but it was so slow, and I was like so antsy. I was like about to see this return, and I was just going to hit it, and I was going to play the point, and he hits it so slow, and it's coming at me, and I don't know what to do, and I like fluff it into the net, and then at 40-30, he hits a flat T ace that like clips both ends of the line by like this much. And then Deuce, he has a second serve again. And this time he goes for like his biggest second serve in the match. And then suddenly it's 4-2. It's on my serve. And I thought I was going to be serving 5-1, you know, for the title. I thought I was going to just, you know, breeze through like a 6-1 third set. And, you know, suddenly it's 4-2. I have 40-30 at 4-2. And I hit my first double fault that I hadn't double faulted in like the last like five sets I had played. And I throw in my first double fault, 4-2, 40-30. Obviously, I'm tight, and after I double, I'm even more tight, and then, you know, he gets fired up, and suddenly, you know, we're in a breaker. I think, you know, it's fine. I'm trying to think about that second serve return at 40-15, obviously, and I can't stop thinking about it, and then it just goes by like this, and suddenly it's 1-5. I think he was serving. Yeah, he was serving at 5-1. I just, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, like, there's no way this just happened to me. Like, I'm about to have the worst preseason ever. I'm not going to sleep for the next 2 weeks. You know, every time I step on the court, like, until next, like, March, I'm going to be thinking about how I choked this match. And so, you know, I was just like, I'm just going to sit in my backhand cross, and I'm just not going to miss. And, you know, hopefully that works. Suddenly, I'm serving again at 2-5. I play two good points, 4-5. I hit like this pass. I don't even know how I made this pass. I was so tight hitting this pass, but it's 5-all. And suddenly it's 6-5. I'm serving for it. It's like, I thought I lost like 2 minutes ago, and now it's on my racket. And I toss my first serve, and my right lat cramps while I toss my first serve at 6-5. And I don't remember what serve. I don't think I went for an ace, because I thought if I go for an ace, this is way too greedy. Like, I was down 1-5. Like, I'm just going to start the point here. Like, I'll start the point in like a 70-30 advantage. You know, I'm not going to be greedy here. Miss my first. My lat's cramping. And so I just try to get a second serve in before, like, you know, maybe it gets worse. Maybe it'll go away. I don't know. But I throw up my toss. I get it like a foot above my head, because I like can't even extend my arm. And I hack in this like 120 kilometer mile an hour serve straight into his forehand. And he hits his forehand line, and then, you know, suddenly it's 6-all. But I can't be mad that it's 6-all, you know, because like last change it was 1-5. So, you know, I honestly felt like I wasn't going to lose at that point, even though, you know, I just had a match point on my serve and it just like went by. But I really just was very confident in that moment. I didn't think I would come back from 1-5 just to lose. So, yeah, I mean, I showed a lot more emotion than I usually do winning matches after that match, but it was... You know, it was in my hands, and then I fumbled it and somehow got it back. So, yeah.
You know, titleist as a teenager is not too bad, you know?
Yeah, that was a big goal for me, actually. That was my last chance to do it. So I was pretty tight about that, too, honestly.
Is there something you could take from, like, you know, your first final in Beijing against somebody like Sinner to, like, your next final against Nori in Mets?
Yeah. If I'm being honest, I mean, the experience playing a final, you know, going into Mets, so it's not like my first final. It was huge. You know, I slept a lot better the night before my Mets final than I did my Beijing final, just because, you know, I felt like I had already kind of played on a stage like that. If I'm being honest, I had, you know, a lot more belief in the Mets final than the Beijing final.
Fair.
I thought, you know, this is like such a great way to end my season. I was trying not to overthink it. And I was feeling so antsy before the match. You know, I think we played like an early evening match, and I was throughout the day, I was just wanting to play. Like, I wanted to play at like 11 a.m. I just wanted to get the match over with. But I think playing that Beijing final was huge. I think my nerves would have been, I mean, through the roof if I hadn't played that Beijing final.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine your first final playing, you know, Sinner or, you know, Alcaraz, one of these guys. That would be a tall, tall task.
We got one more segment here for you. A little more lighthearted, fun questions. You just talked about, like, you know, flying everywhere. I love this question. Are you a guy that sticks to one airline? Are you accumulating frequent flyer miles? Is that something you're, like, passionate about?
I do Delta when I'm in the States. I mean, I don't even look at other flights. I just go on the Delta app, and if it's in the States, I go Delta. Once it's kind of outside the States, I tank, and I just go with, you know, whatever's convenient, whatever has the best connections.
We've taught you so much better than this.
Wait, hold on. So after Mets, you win Mets, and then you fly back to LA. You just went on, like, bought a business class seat or coach?
I already had my flight. I was using a travel agency.
You're a business guy. You're a business class guy now at this point.
At this point. But during actually in
travel
Mets,
agency, like, why do you know? What do you mean a travel agency? Like, you, like,
he goes to there and he prints out his tickets for him.
Get your own flights, dude.
No, my agent doesn't. I'm too big time for that now. You know?
Oh, all right. I like that. That's true. I like that. That's right.
So I get like a round trip ticket. I obviously put it at the end of Mets, and, you know, I was gonna obviously alter my ticket depending on when I would come back. So I just put like an economy flight coming back, and I was expecting I was just gonna move it, you know, depending on what happens. You know, I'm not going to put it for like a Thursday or something. I just put it at the end, you know, I change. So I don't even think about it. And then suddenly, you know, the tournament's over and my flight's tomorrow. And my agent's telling me, oh, you still have your, you know, you're in the back of the bus for this trip back to LA. Like, and I'm on top of the world right now. So, you know, he's trying to get me, he's trying to contact the travel agency to get me a business ticket. And he can't because, you know, the flight's in like 12 hours. So, I win my title. I'm going home sitting, you know, I think I squeezed like an upgrade to premium Echo.
I have zero sympathy for you. The fact that you even use a travel agent, like, you should be in coach at all times.
I mean,
Your agent trying to contact the travel agent? Like, get out of here.
Seems complicated.
My time's too valuable to do that.
I like that. That makes me like that you won the title. You stayed in coach.
Yeah.
Good on you.
I stay true to my roots. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, first guy on tour that, like, made you think, like, I've made it, I'm here, or like you're welcome to the tour moment.
I mean, beating Daniil in Australia, that was big for me. That was actually to break in the top 100. So I remember he was playing this guy. He was ranked. He had like the Asian wild card. He was ranked like 400.
I remember this. Yes.
And he was down. He was down a break or break point in the fourth, and I was hoping the other guy would win, honestly, because that my next match is for top 100. I'd obviously rather play a guy ranked 400 than the defending finalist ranked 5. So I was watching, and I was like, oh, you know, I want to play this. I hope this guy wins so bad. And my coach is telling me this guy is not going to win. And I'm believing, you know, I'm trying to manifest this, and it's not happening. And it didn't end up happening, which honestly worked out for the better. But yeah, I mean, I was really trying to get that top 100 easy, and it really didn't come that easy.
Can you give us the names of like one or two guys that are really nice guys on tour, like you enjoy small talk with, but they're not like top 10 guys? You know, it's like kind of a little bit of the unknown guys that maybe are like super cool and friendly.
Unknown.
But also known a little bit.
I don't know. I mean,
it's a very specific question.
Top 100.
I don't know about, like, I think Riley is great.
He's friend of the pod, unknown. Riley Opelka is hilarious.
Yeah, I think he's great.
I guess you're still kind of new. You don't even know everyone yet.
Yeah.
So. I mean, tour for like a cup of coffee.
Obviously, a lot of Americans, because I know the Americans. I think like Marcos.
Marcos Perone.
Nice guys out there. Yeah. I think Mute is really funny. I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right, great.
Yeah.
You know, what's the hardest thing about being a lefty on tour?
Practice, I think. I think it's an easy answer. I mean, some guys just don't want to hit with a lefty. You sign with some guys sometimes. It was happening to me.
How many times have people called you and said, oh, I don't want to hit with you after you signed up with them? That's a good one.
Well, I don't get a call. I just see that they moved or I got moved. So
there's not even a courtesy call. That's brutal.
No. It's just get off the court or I'll leave the court. So, I mean, it was happening to me a little bit in the beginning of the year. I wasn't sure if it was just because, you know, I was ranked lower or, you know, they just didn't want to hit with the lefty, which, I mean, I understand both ways. I don't take it personally, but it did happen to me a decent bit.
Is there one rule on tour that you'd like to see changed or implemented?
No, I mean, I'm a young, naive guy. I think everything's great. So, you know, I'm not one to complain.
Yes, man. I've
been around for 10 years. So
You'll get there.
Yeah. When I'm your guys' age, I'm sure I'll be complaining about a lot. So
if you had to pick one of the four of the Nothing Major hosts, the other two guys aren't here to take you down to Australia and coach you, who's it going to be?
I mean, I've seen you out there putting in the hours as a coach at Carson Stevie.
This better be an answer. I asked this one specifically.
Yeah. I mean, that's more than any of the other guys have, you know, this year at least. So, you know, you also were commentating some doubles, my doubles at US Open. So, you know, my game a little bit.
No, I never want to see that again.
You know, some things I can improve. So I think you'd be a good fit.
I needed that answer.
Is there one of the four of us you're just like 100% I do not want them with me for a month?
For a month. I mean, a month's a long time. I don't know if I'd want anyone for a month, but.
Which one of the four of us do you definitely not want coaching you in Australia? And why is it Jack?
And why is it Jack?
Samuel. I heard there's a new pickleball zone in Australia this year. I don't feel like you'd be locked in on my success. I feel like you'd just be, you know, here, there.
So obviously don't know this. I quit pickleball like 2 months ago. I'm all in on tennis.
I actually saw the replay of you like breaking your Achilles for the first time a couple of days ago. I saw it for the first time, like having you in slow motion.
Sad day in the world of pickleball.
All right, last question, Lerner. You talked about your goal for 2025 was top 50. Do you have something in mind for 2026?
I have my goals.
Feel free if you don't want to share it.
Yeah, I usually don't say. Not because I'm like embarrassed if I don't reach my goals. I just don't really put it out there because they're more personal things. I mean, I have a list in my notes app. I have decent bit, honestly. I have for next year, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I mean, I have 6 goals for next year. I can throw a couple. I mean, one of them, I want to be top 100 in doubles. That's pretty big for me, for my career trajectory. I think that would be great.
That'll never happen with what I've seen.
I mean, I think breaking top 100 in doubles would get like a solo post on my Instagram.
That's like 5 decent tournaments. You could do that. I mean, that's all I'm cheering for next year. Learning to be top 100 in doubles.
Yeah, top 100 in doubles. I want to win more than one match during the clay swing.
Good goal.
That is a good goal. I mean, I think that's doable. I think that's doable.
Well, I'm going to take the under on both of those. And we'll circle back next year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Honestly, that's fair.
All right, Lerner. Well, we appreciate you hopping on. Good luck in 2026. You're going to crush it as always. We've enjoyed following your career and success since Sam and I had the pleasure of hitting with you probably when you were like 8.
Tanking hits against me.
Whoa.
We tried it.
We were good influences on you. You're welcome.
Okay.
Every time we hit when you were like 10, I would leave and like someone asked me how I was practicing. I was like, hey, with this kid.
Very complimentary of Lerner.
Like, we were so complimentary of you all the time.
So that hurts. That hurts.
Okay. I mean, honestly, you were kind of setting an example of you get to the level where you're, you know, in all these tournaments, you're playing on the tour, you can tank. And that's what I thought growing up, thanks to you guys. So, I mean.
Maybe Stevie.
Goodness. All right, Lerner. Good luck, buddy. We'll see you around the bend. I'll see you in Australia to coach you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again to Lerner. Hopefully he does well in Australia. Maybe he makes a run. Last year, remember there, he beat Medvedev, kind of like put his name on the map a little bit. And we'll see. Stevie's got him potentially in the top 15 this year. We'll be cheering for him. We're big Lerner guys on the pod. And that's it for the show, the Friday show. Follow us, subscribe on all those fancy little apps, you know, X, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll be back on Monday. We'll see you guys then.